Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Man, we got a good show for you tonight. Boy, we've been off for the last week and a lot of stuff happened. We got a lot to catch up on. Let me get in the studio real quick. My phone was acting up. See if my man in here. Come on. Come on. Okay.
Yo.
Hey, what's going on, Keys? How you doing, bro? Could you hear me?
Yeah. You hear me good?
Yes, I hear you, man. What's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, bro. Hanging in there. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. I think my grandson listening to the show tonight. That's who in the queue right now. Hey, Hayden, how you doing, man? Glad you're listening to the show. We're going to have a good show for you tonight. Hey, Keys, bro. It seems like so much happened when we take a week off, don't it?
Yeah, for real. Every time it's like every time we do, there's like a ton to talk about when we come back.
Yeah, man. So where you want to start at tonight?
I want to start up with this. First of all, I want to ask you, did we cover since UFC 299, have we been on since then?
No. We didn't get to review 299.
Okay, so all right, so, I just want to say this first, because this is the only thing I'm going to say about it, and I don't even want to discuss it after that. If you have anything you want to, not 299, but the card that we just watched, UFC Vegas 88, I just want to say this, and this is the only thing I'm going to say. I don't want to talk about any of the fights. I have two things, actually. First of all, Kennedy, Achekwu, or whatever, however you say his name, that, bro, that was a disgrace. I hope that you just got demoted to the early prelims because that was so terrible. He was like a minus 700 something to beat Ovin St. Preux, the ghost of Ovin St. Preux, who's like 40, 41 years old, completely washed. Ovin St. Preux had been KO'd, stopped in his last three fights, and Kennedy Chukwu looked terrible against him, just like that Waldo Cortez looked terrible against the ghost of Andrei Arlovski a couple weeks before that, who he was also like a minus 700 not the favorite. These younger fighters, bro, like, y'all should be beating these guys much more decisively than you do. So when you go in there and you have a firefight, it's not to say that Andrei Arlovski is not a legend and that he's not still tough. He is. But you should, if you are an actual prospect and you're somebody that we should be checking for, you should beat him more decisively than you do. The fact that you're having a firefight with him is really embarrassing. Ovin St. Preux is not a legend. To me, he is not a legend. He was a good fighter at one point, and he hasn't been a good fighter in like 10 years. And the UFC is living off him, the fact he fought John Jones once. And that's pretty much his only claim to fame, is that he fought John Jones once and lost John Jones. And he's pretty much done nothing since then, and he's looked average since. So, realistically, that was embarrassing. Kennedy at Chuck Wu, I hope you are the first fight on the early prelims. That's where you should be after that performance. That was just terrible. And secondly, UFC Vegas 88, I'm going to say it now. I've watched UFC consistent for 8 years. That was the worst fight card I've ever watched in my 8 years. That was absolutely terrible, and I have nothing good to say about it. That was complete garbage. I think Isaac Delgarian won his fight. That was a terrible decision. Christian Rodriguez, you got blessed, and just know that you were a shining piece. Not a good shine. You were just a glaring piece in the worst fight card that the UFC's ever put on. And third, we need to stop doing fights at the Apex. The Apex must be stopped. And those are the only points I want to make about that card, Feel free, whatever you want to discuss about it. That car was absolute garbage.
And I'll just follow up with saying this. Every car is not going to be a banger when you start off the year the way the UFC started off with 298, 299, and 300. And then they had a stacked fight night car in there also on a Noche. I think we wanted to call it a Noche. So this is one of the times I think where you put on too many events end up hurting the product. When you have too many events, this is what happens. Because you end up putting on a card like this when you are trying to showcase younger upcoming talent and they don't step up to the plate. The Apex, yeah, it's time for the Apex to go away. But the one thing I do like about the Apex, I keep saying it, is I do like the smaller cage. I think the smaller cage invites more action. But, hey, the Apex, it served its purpose. The Apex was strictly supposed to be used during COVID. Y'all are now, you know, traveling the world. So there's no more need to have fights at the Apex. And I don't even think we have to dwell on this even more. Over in St. Preux, man, out of his last 10 fights, he was knocked out 6 times. And he ended up, you know, like you said, when you younger guys, this is food for thought for you younger guys. You have to look at where you are in your career. When the UFC gives you an Andre Arlovski or Ovince St. Preux, and they see something in you, what they saying is, if you are who you think we are, you should go out and put on probably one of the best performances you can put on against these guys, so we can keep shooting you to the star, and shooting you to the stars, and basically that didn't happen, man. But look, every card ain't gonna be a banger. We did get let down. But UFC 299 was not a letdown at all, Keys. 299 was definitely a night that was full of action, a lot of good fights. I saw today that Peter Yan tore his ACL in the first round in his fight against Sung Yung Don, and he went on to win that fight by unanimous decision. So, let's jump into 299, man. What stood out? Do you want to go good, bad, and ugly, or you just want to just talk about it?
Yeah, and my last thing on that terrible card is, yeah, result of too many cards, but also it was the performances themselves, like not even necessarily like who was on it or like there was nobody, like nothing of like.
Okay, I feel you.
My reasoning for it was the actual. You could say, like you said, like the actual product was bad. It was like down to the detail. It was a bunch of like boring decisions. Everybody was getting wrestle fucked. It was just all the fights were a snooze. There was like hardly anything. It's not even to say that like a decision fight can't be an exciting fight. We all know that's not true. I mean, Robert Whittaker exists. He has great decision fights. Volkanovski exists. He has great decision fights. Max Holloway exists. Great decision fights. There's so many, like, decision does not equal bad fight. It's just the way the fight was. It's relative. Is what kind of fight was it that led to a decision? You know, it could be a great fight, but it went to decision. It does not mean that it's a bad fight, but it's just the way the fights went. It was just everybody was getting wrestle fucked, and then, you know, the close fights that were there, which were also boring fights, like Dalgarian and Christian Rodriguez was an extremely boring fight. But I think the decisions that were there, you know, you had bad decisions going the wrong way. I think Dalgarian won that fight. And then later in the night, it's like Brian Battle, you know, you just have like a series of just unfortunate events. It's like, what the hell is going on? Like, you know, you think on the main card, oh, maybe it'll get better. The main card, it's like it was even worse. It was like the prelims were terrible, and then the main card was terrible. Then Brian Battle, you know, who I was, that was like who I was really watching on that car. I think Brian Battle is awesome, and he's like one of my favorite guys to watch right now. I was looking forward to him versus Ange Lusa. He was dominating Ange Lusa, and then, you know, off an eye poke, Ange Lusa says that he can't see. So then the refs call off the fight. It gets ruled a no contest. And then what does Ange Lusa do after that? Some more fuckery. Because, Brian Battle, I mean, hey, it's not to say, but I understand Brian Battle's frustration, though. I honestly do. Because this guy is saying that he can't see because he got eye poked. It's like, I just think the guy was looking for a way out. He was getting beat down in the fight. He was already out of the fight. He was about to get 30-27. If not, he was going to get finished, probably second round, third round. Ange Lusa was getting completely outclassed in the fight. Go watch it. I think he just wanted a way out. He could probably see fine. Because if he couldn't fight, Brian Battle says to him, you know, what he says to him after it, and then they start arguing, but then Ange Lusa says, I'll kill you. Oh, you want to fight now? Now you want to fight. After you just got the fight called off. You just got the fight called off saying that you couldn't see. You had your chance to do that. You were just fighting him a few minutes ago. You just got the fight called off. Now, after he says something to you, because he's understandably frustrated. He's understandably frustrated. It's not Brian Battle wrong. I don't think that he was even wrong for saying that to him after the fight, because I would have been mad too. You prepare for all that time and you actually want to get to put on a performance, and especially when you feel like you're winning and you want to get to showcase it. You know, you prepare all those months for the fight, and then the fight gets called off over basically nonsense. It's like he couldn't have taken 5 minutes and recovered, and we couldn't. You think he couldn't see? You know, if they took 5 minutes and then they started it, I think he would have been fine. You know what I mean? But I just think he wanted to get out of there, and then now, but then he wanted. It's like he wanted to fight after the fight. It's like, bro, they should be rescheduling that fight for this weekend's card and let Ange Lusa get beat down in the rematch. That shouldn't even be happening. Let him get dominated by Prime Battle, because we needed to see that happen. You know what I mean? So that was ridiculous. That got me even more frustrated. And then in the main event, I said to my boy, I said, yo, guys, I really said this, and this really happened. I swear to God, y'all.
You tweeted it too.
I left the crib. I told him. I was like, yo. I was with two of my boys. I was like, yo. I said, I will not stand for any bullshit in this main event. This has to be a good fight. I said, if Tabora even shoots, if he shoots and lands a takedown, I am walking out. I'm leaving. That's it. I won't watch it. And then literally, right once he pressed Tuivasa against the cage, and then I saw him turning his body, and he landed him on the mat, I literally grabbed my things and left my boy's crib. He was like, nah, bro, don't leave. I'm like, nah, bro, I can't do it. I was like, I told you, I can't do it. This was the worst card. I sat here, you know, for all – I can't – I didn't even explain myself. I just said, I can't. I was like, I'm out. I didn't even explain myself. I just walked out. I drove home. And then on the way back, he called me and he said, whatchamacallit got submitted. I'm like, are you kidding me? After all these terrible fights, we have to just to titillate us, you have to make it even that much worse. The UFC, Dana White said, let's throw a cherry on top of the worst card that's ever happened. Let's have a heavyweight fight, two guys that are known for many knockouts. Let's have this end in a submission. Let's have this end in a first-round submission. Total garbage. Let's have the worst outcome we could have and not have them throw hands and at least get a good heavyweight knock like we could have had, or get a Tuivasa knockout with a shoey like we could have had, which if we got that, or even had a Tabora knockout, if we could have gotten a decent main event, that could have at least ended us off on a good
salvage the night.
But it didn't. It didn't. They couldn't even do that. They couldn't even say, oh, you can get the meal for free after the food was bad. They didn't even say that you could get the meal for free. They said, nope, you got to pay the full price. Food was terrible. I don't know what to tell you. It was a rough night. That's what they said. And we literally had to go home knowing that we paid for a well-done steak when we wanted it medium rare. We had to eat it well done, and they said, you're going to love that steak, and you're gonna do nothing about it. You're going to go home knowing that you ate the well-done steak when you wanted it medium rare. and the food was terrible, and it took forever to come out at the same time. That's what they said. So that was just all garbage, and I just think everybody should be ashamed of themselves. Every single fighter you put on a snooze, Ange Lusa, you got destroyed, and technically that should be a loss on your record if you ask me, because you quit, and that should be a loss. And Brian Battle was probably the only one that showed up to entertain us at all in the whole card. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Mason Chason got a submission. I said I wasn't going to talk about the card, but now I got myself going, so now I'm talking about the card. So I shouldn't say it, because two good things happened. Mason Chason got a submission, and the other girl got a submission too. So, like, it's not to say that, like, there wasn't a few impressive things that happened. So shout out, Mason Chason came to fight and came to perform, and who's the other girl? Jacqueline Amorim, she got a first-round submission too. She came to perform, and she came to entertain us. So shout-out to the two of them, and then shout-out to Brian Battle, and that was pretty much it. Tai Tuivasa came to fight too, but he got submitted. So the three of them were the only good moments of the card, and Brian Battle got screwed because Ange Lusa quit. So any objections to that?
Other thing I would say is that the referee didn't do his job. When the guy got poked, you give him 5 minutes. You don't walk around and say, "Can you see? Can you see?" But you know what? I don't even want to talk about that. All right, man. We can talk about 299, man. We going to the good stuff. Hey, Keys, on the scale of 1 to 10, how did you rank UFC 299 on the scale of 1 to 10?
That card was a 10 out. That was a 10 out of 10, bro, easily. And a 10 out of 10, phenomenal card. I just want to tell y'all, I got to say it, I got to get y'all, because y'all told me all week that Dustin Poirier was going to get stopped. You said he was going to get retired by Benoit Saint-Denis Gardevoir, who I'm a fan of. Don't mistake me. I'm a fan of him. But he wasn't beating no damn Dustin Poirier, and y'all all told me that Poirier was going to lose. Y'all said it was the end of Poirier. And you got what you deserved. You got Poirier knocking him out, smashing him. That's what y'all got. He got the humble pie, and all y'all got the humble pie. And then y'all also all told me that MVP was terrible. You said all he did was fight Cans and Bellator. He's going to get embarrassed. He's going to get exposed. Fraud checked by Kevin Holland. I think Kevin Holland got fraud checked by MVP. That's what I think happened. He got so outclassed in the fight. And it's not to say that MVP couldn't have done better. He could have done it better, but I think he did it really well for what it was. I think that there was a clear difference in the striking. Kevin Holland had no idea what to do versus MVP on the feet, and that's why he started taunting him, kind of like Nate Diaz does when Nate Diaz is getting outstruck on the feet. He starts taunting you. Kevin Holland did that exact thing versus MVP because MVP was he was doing all types of ninja shit, and Kevin Holland didn't know what to do. So he got completely outclassed. I cashed both of those underdog bets, and I also had the biggest night of my betting career by far, by miles. We destroyed the card. I went 24-3 record out of 27 bets. We smacked Poirier moneyline, and we smacked MVP moneyline, who were both underdogs, and you guys told me all week that they were both going to lose. You swore they were going to lose, and you were wrong. And I just want y'all to remember it for the rest of your lives that you doubted Poirier. You bet money against him. You bet on his demise. You said it was his end. You said it was his end, and that's what you get. You get humble pie. Sit in the corner and shut up. Sit in the corner and shut up. That's what you guys get.
But once again, Key, that's why you're supposed to listen to your boy.
And think about what you did.
That's why you're supposed to listen to your boy. I told you Dustin was going to win. I told you MVP was going to win. Hey, man.
Yeah, we both said that, but I'm just talking about all the naysayers. The public didn't.
Oh, man, we don't care.
That.
We don't care about that. I just think this card, I gave it a 10-2. I thought this card was definitely pretty good. You had definitely some surprises in this card. It was good to see Joanne Wood go out with a win. She retired after her fight. Michael Pierre had a good showing. I really didn't care for the end to Lava fight. I thought he waited too long to try to get off, but Phillip Lenz did find a good fight. But, man, I have to get props to Curtis Blaydes, man. Curtis Blaydes, we were starting to question Curtis Blaydes. Every time he get put in a big spot, normally he don't normally do so good. But I put a little bit of faith in him, and he got the job done. So I'm with you, man. I get his card a 10. I thought everybody on all the fights was pretty good. I don't think, you know, I was definitely disappointed in Kevin Holland. But, you know, it's hard to prepare for a guy like Michael Venom Page. I haven't seen him fight in so long, I forgot what his style looked like, what he looked like inside the octagon. That is going to be a hard style to combat if you don't beat up that front leg. Going down the road, fighters going to have to start chewing up that front leg to get him from bouncing around the cage like that. But great night of fights. I want to alternate fights, man. I want to I'll take a fight, you take a fight. What was your fight of the night, bro?
Man, fight of the night. Let me look at this. Let me look over this whole thing. Let me look over what we got. So O'Malley beat Cheeto like he stole something. So that was crazy. But I wouldn't say it was fight of the night.
No. That was kind of a snoozer to me.
Yeah, Burns and Madalena was a good fight, I'm pretty sure. That was another one that I was telling y'all about. I've been saying Jack Del Maddalena was going to win that. I said that when they first announced that fight. I was like, Jack Del Maddalena, underdog, easy. Not that it came easy, because Burns was – that was a competitive fight. Yan Song was good. What was the one? I think there was something on the prelims that I really liked. Let me see. What was on the prelims?
Your boy, Despagne.
Oh,
Robelis Despagne.
Yeah, Despagne, man. Oh, that's another one, man. Despagne. Oh, my God, bro. Hold on. Michelle Fajeda, Kudalaba. Alma Baev, yeah. Joanne Wood. I think the time that I started watching that was I walked in right as the Joanne Wood decision was being read. I walked into my boy's house. So I started with the Vergara Alma Baev fight. Alma Baev was a human backpack. He was a JanSport. He pretty much dominated CJ Regard. Despain, oh, my God, bro. Yeah, I might just have to say, Despain was probably, yo, he stole a lot of the show, man. I don't know, fight of the night. I don't know. I mean, I liked a lot of them. It's hard to say. Yan and Song I felt like was good, too. That was one that I liked a lot. I don't know who was the fight of the night, but I'm going to go with what you said. I do think Despain, that was a big moment for me. Yeah,
and you,
Spain,
and you,
man, I told
and you,
y'all, man.
And you hyped everybody up about
doing?
Him. You...
What was that guy doing?
Okay.
Go ahead. My bad.
Okay.
Ahead,
this is funny, man. Because remember we did our predictions last week? I was like, I don't think this guy is going to do anything but come out there and probably get knocked out. Lo and behold, he just walked out there and got knocked out. It was like, what is this? What? So, but, hey, man, if that's your thing, you're a knockout specialist, that's supposed to do, going in and knock a guy out. But the guy who actually shined to me, and I might be probably tripping a little bit, I thought it was Kyle Phillips, man. I love the way he looked. I love the way he put his combination together. I love his cardio, his speed. He got better and better as the fight went along. Normally, guys that move like that, and normally you'll see them probably in the middle of the second round, going to the third round, they might slow down just a little bit. But nah, man, he just kept coming. He just kept throwing fierce combinations. Everything he was throwing was super sharp. He looked super sharp going against Pedro Munhoz. I can't wait to see Kyle Phillips fight again. But, Keith, tell me, why do fighters, the last couple cards, me and you have watched, fighters do stuff that just make you say, Caitlin Seminara formerly Chookagian, why in the world would she try to get in a wrestling match with Macy Barber? I did not understand that at all. I was watching it like, you was killing her the first round with the strikes, and now all of a sudden you want to wrestle with Macy Barber. No, come on. So I was let down by Caitlin's performance, but overall I was pleased with the card, bro. I thought the card was great.
Yeah, there was some that was one, you know, that was one of a couple of questionable things, you know. I feel like and to your other point, Kyle Phillips, that was not crazy at all to say that. I think Kyle Phillips looked good. I think, you know, he was one of the standout performances, I think. You know, he pretty much was beating Pedro Munhoz that whole fight, from what I remember. And, you know, I would say you could tell that, like, he put a lot of his energy into the first round. I do think he slowed down, you know, early. You could see it. Like, the start of the second round, he definitely slowed down. You could tell he was tired. But he still continued to win the fight. You know, I think I want to say Adam won in all three rounds. Yeah, he outstruck Pedro Munhoz pretty cleanly right there. You know, he got to not put all his energy in the first round, though. Like, you could tell that, like, yeah, Pedro hurt in the first, but then it's like, how much energy are you using to either finish a guy or not finish him and then be exhausted in the second? You know what I mean? And that's the same thing that Chandler falls victim to. That's my problem. Always been the problem with Chandler is that Chandler just tries to explode out of a cannon and try to get you out of there in the first. And he has the power to do it, but then once he doesn't do it, he's used up, you know, 90% of his juice, and then he's getting beat in the second round. It's like, that's usually what happens with Chandler. Like, if he doesn't finish you early, it's like now the fight, he looks totally different, and the fight starts leaning, you know, pulling away from him in the second. So, yeah, but Kyle Phillips, no, that's definitely, I think that's totally reasonable. And I don't know why she did that. But I think Macy Barber looked good. I was happy to see her win that. And I have no idea why Josh Friesen, like, chased Despain down. I mean, Despain charged at him. And what made you want to chase him after that? Like, that's the thing. Like, this guy comes flying at you throwing bombs. I mean, that's what Despain does. And, you know, we've only seen, you know, four fights, but that was his fifth fight. That's what he does, though. He destroys people in, like, less than 30 seconds. You know, they said his last three fights before that, I think they added up to 18 seconds, bro. Like, this guy is crazy. Like, I was going back
and forth. Yeah, he got knocked out in 18 seconds.
Oh, yeah, so that one was another 18-second knockout. It's like, but what made Josh see? I knew he was a sacrificial lamb. I knew that he was,
yep,
like, the perfect opponent for
yep,
Despain. And I want to make an announcement, too, about Despain, just in case whoever listening didn't know, in this case you didn't know, Despain's next fight is already booked. Did you know he already
yep
has his next fight booked? You
yep
saw that.
Acosta.
So, yeah, he's fighting Waldo Acosta, who I think Despain's going to take his head off, too. I really don't think, you know, some people might disagree, but I think they're going to be mistaken. There will come a time in the future to fade, and Despain will lose in the future, but I don't think it's against Waldo, man. I think Waldo, I mean, I was just going off about Waldo, you know, in the beginning of the show, you know, a little while
yeah
ago. I was just saying how Waldo he's not a good fighter, man. He's not a good fighter. It's like, I mean, you look at him versus Arlovski, it's like, come on, dog. Like, we know Arlovski is tough. He's a former heavyweight champion. He was one of the best guys in the world at one point. Arlovski is still tough, even at this point in his career, and he's still a tricky striker. But you look so, like, I didn't even know if you were going to win that decision. I wasn't even sure. Like, and I think I had a bet on him that night. I wasn't even sure you won that decision. Like, you look so mediocre against Arlovski. It's like, come on, dog. Like, I don't even remember him hurting Arlovski in the fight. I don't even think there was a point that he landed anything that I thought Arlovski was even hurt in the fight. It was like, Waldo looked like he fought so scared against Arlovski. And it's like, dog, if Despain fights Arlovski, he's going to knock him out in the first round very quickly. Like, Arlovski has been knocked out many times. Despain's going to knock him out in the first round. I'm not going to be excited to see it because I hate seeing the legends go down like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that will happen. And
yeah,
and And I think Waldo's going to get knocked out too, man. I think the dude is very average. He's very hittable. He pretty much only has his hands. He doesn't have the other things that he does. And he's slow. And if he fights anything like the way he fought versus Alaski, he's going out quickly, bro. So I just wanted to announce that for people that Spain's got his next fight. And I want to also say I like the work ethic because he knows that he just had a quick fight. So he's getting right back in there. I think that's so sick. You know what I mean? I wish we'd see more fighters with that mentality. Because if you look at Bo Nickel, why did Bo Nickel have so much time off? He's an example of a guy like that, but in a different, not the same thing, but a guy who doesn't get hit a lot and he's a quick finisher, but in a different division. Why did Bo Nickel fight last summer? I think he fought last July. I think it was UFC 290 he fought. And now we're only just about to see him fight again 10 pay-per-views later at 300. Why did it take? By that time, it will be April. So we'll have seen, it'll have been 9 months between Bo Nickel's last fight. And he dispatched the guy he fought in his last fight. I think it was like, it was very
in the first
one. I don't remember when it was. But I don't even think he got hit. I don't even think he absorbed the strike. He destroyed that guy. Why did it take him 9 months? You know what I mean? It's like, but.
I think one thing about guys like Bo Nickel and Patty Pimblett, guys like that, I think they stars already. Because, you know, Islam only fights maybe twice a year. Some of these guys only fight like twice a year. But it's like you are a star in name only. You're not a star as far as perform, maybe a performance too, but you're not a star as far as you only get to fight once a year. You know, maybe he been hurt and we don't know about it, but I don't like that either. I think if you're an up-and-coming guy and you try to get in that title picture, you should be fighting about two or three times a year. Maybe three or four times at the most. But, Keith, there was two things that irked my chains about UFC 299 while I was watching it. The first was Dustin Poirier kept going for the guillotine against Benoit St. Denis. It's like, Dustin, your corner is giving you quality information and advice. Why are you going for this guillotine every time when every time you hit him, you are hurting him? I was getting super frustrated with him going for the guillotine. And then in the main event, Marlon Vera, bro, you know you can't let Sean O'Malley fight at distance. You have to make the fight a dog fight to even have a chance of winning a round or winning the fight in general. And he kept fighting at distance, bro. I just didn't understand. And then the information in his corner was giving him, I was totally disagreeing with everything they said. I was like, why are you telling him that? You need to tell him he need to close the distance, put Sean O'Malley back on the cage, make it a dog fight. And he just wouldn't do it, man. I was disappointed in Marlon Vera's performance, and I was even though Dustin won, I just didn't like the way he went about the win, man. But you know, great performance by Sean O'Malley, Benoit St. Denis. He'll be back. He needs to know. He'll learn that he needs to work on his defense in the striking game, because he was just getting teed off on, man. But it was the co-main and the main event. The main event, but the co-main event, it was a lot of action in there, bro. And hats off to O'Malley and Dustin Poirier.
Thing that I want to say and I want to get back to is that I think I'm going to go Poirier. That was the fight of the night. That was the moment of the night as well, I think, overall. And then Despain will probably be right after that. But one thing I'll say about what was Cheeto talking about? So you see Cheeto with the grease allegations? Man, what the hell are you talking about? You know what's really bothered me, bro, in the past couple of weeks with the UFC? I'm hearing so many excuses from guys. Like, why is it coming out every card that a guy loses? Like, the last, like, three 4 weeks of fights, you're seeing all these excuses. Like, why are these dudes doing all these interviews? Another one that and we actually have to cover this too, bro. This just hit me. Another guy that I see making excuses is, and I don't want to steer us off just yet, but I do want to touch on this, is Francis Ngannou. It's like Francis Ngannou just got lawn-chaired by Anthony Joshua. He got lawn-chaired, bro. Like, that was concerning, bro. He really got – so the thing that was crazy about the way Anthony Joshua knocked him out, right, and this is something I couldn't believe it. I was talking to my boy. I'm like, yo, if you look at his legs, he was at 90 degrees. Like, his legs were still upright.
Yeah.
It was like, if you look at the way – and it was the same way that he fell – when Stipe, when they did the rematch, Stipe fell in the same way. It was so weird. It was like he got lawn chaired the same way that he lawn chaired Stipe in the rematch, which that fight broke my heart, by the way, when he got knocked out. But it's so crazy how, like, his upper body went down, but then the legs were still in – it was like the legs were still upright. It was like he was half standing up. You see Ngannou, like, his knee was still at 90 degrees. I'm like, yo, what the hell just happened? It was like – the top of the Wi-Fi tower got shut down, but then, like, the doors are still unlocked at the bottom. It's like, what? The lights were still on, but the building was, you know what I mean? Like, the building was out of commission, but there was still a light on. I don't know. But you see Ngannou was making crazy excuses about that. He was talking about, like, he got to the arena too early or, you know, some other thing he was saying. I'm like, man, what the hell? Like, and then Cheeto's talking about Grayson. And then there was a couple other guys that were making excuses for fights they lost recently. There's a bunch. Isaac Delgarian was calling Grayson for Christian Rodriguez. I'm like, bro, everybody's making excuses. How about you just don't make excuses and you just, if anything, you do your interview and you say you want a rematch or something. Like, don't make all these excuses and talk about why. It's like, especially with Cheeto, what are you talking about with Grayson, bro? It's like, Cheeto, you didn't even attempt to grapple or wrestle or even clinch or do anything that would
exactly
even be affected by Grayson. So what is he talking about? It's like, do you recall that you, like, do you know that that doesn't make sense? Like, you saying that? Like, I wonder if he, like, understands that that doesn't make any sense. Like, you were in a fight where you were striking with O'Malley. That's what you did the whole fight, which is fine. But greasing would not be applicable to a fight where you're striking. If a guy was greasing, that would be more applicable to a fight where a guy was attempting to wrestle, because the greasing would make it harder to get a hold of him because he's more slippery, and it would be harder to hold on to him because he's more slippery. It would affect many things, but if you were wrestling and grappling, it would affect many, even the clinch. It might even affect the clinch. If when you weren't doing any of those things, I don't understand why you chose to say greasing when this was a striking fight. Like, am I missing something with that?
Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything, but okay. First of all, when the fighters walk to the cage, right? Normally they have t-shirts on and a jacket. All right. When they take the t-shirt off and they take the jacket off, they go to the referee. The referee checks them for the mouthpiece, puts Vaseline on their face. And then, if you watch carefully, they'll take a towel and wipe them off. And then they will rub their body to make sure that they aren't slippery already. So, man, that's a lame excuse. And that's probably one of the worst excuses you can use when the UFC does everything in their power to prevent that. Because that's the point, that's the purpose of you going to see the ref before you walk in an octagon. So that's just that was just a dumb excuse. Greasing should never be used, man. Only way greasing can be actually used, Keys, is during a fight. You know, like when you go to your corner and you are already sweating and you know your corner go to wipe you down, you know, something like that, they might be able to slip it in there, but it's too many cameras and stuff now, and for a fighter to even try to do that. So that makes no sense. But, you know, being that you brought up Ngannou, me and you talked about this on our group chat. It's funny because me and Keys normally our group chat is actually, we They normally short, but they're very effective. Keys asked me, Lee, did you see Joshua knock out Ngannou? I said, yeah. Keys said, did he look right to you? And I was like, no, but let me go back and look. So I went back and I looked. He was hurt at the end of that round, the prior round. And when he came out, it was like he never recovered, man. And you knew he didn't recover, Keys, because did Joshua throw one punch and landed on him and flatlined him? It was like he didn't even see that punch coming, and it was an overhand right hook. It was like you had to see that punch coming. So I felt, Ngannou, man, you can't make excuses for you getting knocked out, but you were still hurt. You wasn't able, you didn't have enough time to regain your senses. What your corner should have told you to do was come out in the beginning of the round, dance around, don't engage until you get your legs back under you, you know, like most fighters do when they get hurt at the end of a round. What they normally do when they come out, Keys, they normally dance around for about 20 seconds, 15 seconds, you know, maybe up to 30 seconds, you know, to try to get their legs back under, get their feeling back. But he walked out there with his damn near with his hands down and got flatlined. I just didn't understand that. But I still think he may have a career in boxing, but I think all the focus shifted the wrong way. Everybody was focused on Ngannou getting knocked out. Everybody should focus on Anthony Joshua looking like Anthony Joshua again. Anthony Joshua actually looked pretty good. He actually looked like somebody that can go in and actually beat the winner of Tyson Fury and Usyk. So I want to give my flowers to Anthony Joshua, and I want to throw thorns at Ngannou's corner.
And I want to add one more thing to this, because I was just reading it as you were talking, and I'm glad that I was reading it, because a lot of times when I'm reading something while you're talking, you're reading something, we pick up on other headlines or other news or things that we can inject right into the show, and it makes it even better. So I'm going to hit you with this, bro, and I got to ask you what you feel about this. So the head of PFL, I don't know what he's the president or what, Francis Ngannou, will be returning in, I think it said, Francis Ngannou will be returning to fight Henan Ferreira, the guy that just KO'd Ryan Bader in the first round, another KO machine. He said he will be returning to fight him as early as July and no later than September. Now,
so that means
I'll ask you first what you think about that before I say anything.
I think what Francis is doing is he's trying to burn the candle at both ends. Basically, he's going to do, Keys, he fought Tyson Fury, had a competitive fight. He fought Anthony Joshua, got knocked out. So now he's going to return to MMA. And I guarantee you his fight after that fight will be a boxing fight. He's going to have to make a decision on what he wants to do. It's not my place or your place or the fans' place to tell Ngannou what he wants to do, but you can't do both and be successful in both. One of those sports is going to suffer because you're not giving it the respect and the training it's due. So I can see why PFL want him to come back and, you know, at least have a fight in with them, because, you know, this guy Henan, you know, he had a nice good knockout, and, you know, they want to give him a shot at Francis. But it all depends on if Francis' heart is still in MMA. But your heart, you can't be half-hearted in MMA because you will get hurt. You could possibly get killed in MMA if you're not on top of your game. So I don't mind him coming back. But I think he needs to basically, you know, figure out is MMA the way he wants to go, or is boxing the way he wants to go? But who am I, Keys? Because Clarissa Shields, you know, she's doing both. But I really don't even take her serious as an MMA fighter because the only thing she do is throw punches. She almost got her arm broke the other day in her last fight because she didn't want to tap. Ma'am, you know that's your moneymaker. Even though she did come back to win the fight, I don't know, bro. I don't know, but, you know, hats off to Ngannou. What's your thoughts on her coming back and fighting the PFL?
First thing, because you brought it up, I have to say, Clarissa Shields looks terrible in MMA. She looks so terrible. She sucks in MMA.
Yes.
And the thing, yo, and you know what's so crazy? And this is the fact that, this is a big reason why, like, I love the fact that now, like, I research so much about, like, who's who and who's fighting who. Because, and like I said, I've said this before, and you said it, is, you know, aside from the betting, it makes you a better fan, you know, because you know who's who and who did what and how they might look here and then, you know, how that might affect that, right? But one thing I know about it, and this is why I think Clarissa Shields sucks at MMA, and I'm really confused about, like, what she was doing in that fight. They gave her a girl who was a striking style that didn't really do it. Like, that's what that girl does that they gave her. I'm pretty sure the girl they gave her had, like, an 0-2 record or something. Like, a bad record and a striking style. And they did that, in my opinion. That was to let Clarissa Shields showcase her hands. You're supposed to be, you know, one of the best women's boxers in the world, right? How are you not able to box? Like, how are you not able to box with MMA gloves on? I don't understand, what happens to her in there. She looked completely frozen. And it's like, bro, they gave you a layup. They gave you a girl that was going to stand in front of you that wasn't going to try to wrestle fuck you so you could showcase your hands and just let you fight the style that to let you box. They literally set her up so that she could have a striking style match and she could basically just use her hands and that she wouldn't need to be a better wrestler than someone that actually wrestles or have better jiu-jitsu than someone who, you know, is a jiu-jitsu black belt. They literally put her in front of someone that just stands and bangs so that she could use her hands. And then she just looks frozen and she just doesn't let her hands go. It's like, what happens to you in the cage that it changes? I don't understand. They literally gave you the perfect matchup. They gave you a cherry pick, and you just ignored it. I don't get. And then she was, like, talking trash, like, on the interview to Cyborg after the match. Clarissa Shields, Cyborg will destroy you. She will destroy you in the cage. MMA, she will destroy you. You have no right to put on that performance and then get on the interview right after. You look completely frozen like Elsa. Like Adesanya said, you looked frozen like Elsa against a very lackluster opponent who you were supposed to destroy. You should have KO'd her. And you looked frozen. Yeah. Cyborg will eat you alive. She will eat you alive in the cage. You have no idea what you're talking about. Like, maybe in boxing you might have something there, but I'm not even going to go into it. But as far as the PFL, you will get eaten alive by Cyborg and PFL. You should hope that they don't try to book that match because you will die. Cyborg will finish you easily because Cyborg is going to be very comfortable with her hands and you are not, and you will get caught very quickly. So I do think Cyborg will KO Clarissa Shields in the PFL cage. So she should hope that they don't make the match because she's clearly, I don't know what the mental thing is or what the disconnect is. She's clearly not confident boxing with the MMA gloves. So Cyborg is confident, and even though she's older in her career, she will destroy you. So I'll just put that there. And then secondly is that I don't like Ngannou coming back to fight Renan Ferreira, a KO machine.
Yep.
Ngannou just saw what happened to Volkanovski. Volkanovski got KO'd by Islam in October. I'll always root for Volkanovski, even if I disagree with the decision. When that fight got booked, we talked about it on the show, and I said that I was worried about that I said, I do think Volkanovski can beat him. I think he'll beat him. That's my prediction. But I am worried about the short turnaround after being KO'd stiff. I'm definitely worried about it, especially versus Teporia, who has a lot of power, undefeated, known for his KOs. I said I was worried, and then, you know, Volk, I think, paid the price for that quick turnaround, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it seems like Ngannou just seems like he didn't even know that that happened. It's like he just did not witness that. Like, you just got KO'd stiff by Anthony Joshua. And I want to say, I just want to point out that Anthony Joshua did what he was supposed to do in there.
Yep.
You should KO Ngannou because you're supposed to be one of the best in the world. Fury should have been able to dispatch Ngannou, but he looked terrible. And they make excuses about that too, but it is what it was. Joshua did what he was supposed to do. I think Joshua looks great in his last three fights. He has 3 KOs now since August 2023. That's 7 months. Anthony Joshua just fought and got 3 KOs in 7 months. We have to give him the flowers for that, regardless of, you know, the fact that some of them were, you know, lower competition or Ngannou, where, you know, you probably should be able to KO him. But I will say Ngannou clearly learned nothing from what just happened to Volkanovski. I think it's a terrible decision to try to do a quick turnaround after getting KO'd by Anthony Joshua. His chin is suspect now. That's a very bad KO. He should be taking time off. I don't like it at all. I think at least 6 months off, if not more. Very bad. And that was, what, March? So even if he came back in September, that would only be a six-month.
6 months.
I think he should be – Ngannou should probably wait till like end of the year, maybe even early 2025 to come back. That's what I think. That's what he should be giving himself a fair time because he's been active. He just went back-to-back. He fought Fury and Joshua back-to-back and then just got KO'd stiff. So I think he should be minimum 6 months, September the earliest, if not like November, December, I feel like might be enough time. I think you wait till November, December, and I think he could be ready by that point because we saw the way Poirier was able to – people had that concern with Poirier. But I think Poirier did the right thing. Poirier got KO'd in August, and he didn't come back until he took 7 months off and then came back in March. And I think that paid dividends for him. And then look what happened.
Yeah.
He had a performance of the night. So I think Ngannou can beat that guy. But I think if he's going to come back in July, he's going to lose. I do think that it's very likely. I'll probably be picking him to lose if he fights this guy in July. And if he fights him in September, I'll still be wary of it. Because Anthony Ferreira is a tough guy. I am a suspect of the level of the PFL guys compared to UFC guys. But they did just get swept by Bellator. But besides that win, Anthony Ferreira, I think, was the only PFL win of the night.
Yeah,
but
he's the only one that won, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one that won. But Bader is also, you know what I mean? I mean, Bader is... whatever. But, yeah, I think if he fights in July, it's a terrible idea. I think September is not even a great idea. I think you come back like November, December, if I'm being honest. You take the fair time off. You know what I mean? Even if you want to do October, I think October could make some sense. Do what Poirier did. Take off 7 months. Come back in October. You know what I mean? Start training in August. You know what I mean? I think that's the play, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think one thing, me and you, that – I think we might not have looked at it this way. I think Clarissa Shields and Cyborg setting up. They're going to do a fight in the octagon, and then they're going to do a boxing match. I don't know which one they're going to do first, but that's the way they're setting it up to be so they can maximize, you know, this fighting situation, being that, you know, Cyborg thinks she can box. And then, you know, Clarissa Shields thinks she's an MMA artist, MMA fighter. So I think they're setting it up that way. But on with you, Clarissa Shields just doesn't look good at MMA to me. And she almost got her arm broke, man. And I'm not saying that, you know, in a bad way. I'm saying that in the course of a fight, when you get put in a submission hold, there's an opportunity that you could get something broke. You can get your ankle broke. You can get your leg broke. You can get your arm broke. We seen Big Nar break somebody's arm when he put him in an arm bar and they refused to tap, and he broke their arm. So things can happen. But, you know, we got about 5 minutes left. And, Keys, we got to talk about this, man. It was announced your boy, Jake Paul, will be taking on Iron Mike Tyson July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. And for the first time, you'll be able to watch it on Netflix. Two-part question, Keys. Was you excited when you heard that Jake Paul be fighting Mike Tyson? And the second part of the question is, what are your overall thoughts of Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson?
I mean, I was just – my first reaction was I was really surprised. I was hella surprised. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. And you know why I'm even more excited for it? Because my dad's excited for it, bro. Like, real talk. Like, I'm excited because he's excited. Like, my dad loved Mike Tyson back, you know, in his prime. Like, that's one of his favorite boxers, I could pretty much tell. I mean, my dad, the boxers that my dad always, like, refers back to, which I, you know, that's usually probably your favorite fighters. He always refers back to Mike Tyson, Roberto Duran, and... Yeah, those are probably like the two guys. And like Sugar Ray Leonard, like you referring to, but like those are probably like the first two guys. My dad, when he goes back and like reminisce on boxing, he talks about Mike Tyson, he talks about Roberto Duran. Those seem to be the two guys that he might be his two favorite guys. But yeah, I'm excited because he's excited, you know, and he hasn't like he didn't have interest in watching the Roy Jones Jr. exhibition. And I watched that with my brother. He didn't want to watch it. But, you know, this one, my dad called me, and he's like, wow, like, you got to come to the house. I'm going to order the fight. Like, tell all your friends to come over. Like, Mike Tyson's going to knock this dude out. And I was like, wow, Dad. Like, I'm not even going to tell him anything, like, say any take on the fight. Like, I'm just happy that he's excited for it, you know, like, that it got him out of his seat, you know. So, overall, yeah, I'm excited for it. What happened?
Not just him. It's a lot of old heads happy about Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul, man. I mean, I think Keys, I don't even know what Netflix is paying them. Probably going to be comparable to what – this might surpass what the fighters make when they go fight in Saudi Arabia, bro. I think they're going to make this much money off this fight because it's a clash of – the old school versus the new school. You got my age group, I'm 52, going against Jake Paul's age group, he's 27, something like that. So it's like you get to merge these two age groups and a winner gets to talk trash. When I first saw it, I didn't think it was real. And then the news started coming out that, you know, the fight was going to happen. I wrote a piece about it that I think this is a lose-lose situation for Jake Paul. I just think that if he wins, he loses. If he loses, he loses. Because if he wins, they can say he beat a 57-year-old Mike Tyson. And if he loses, they're going to say he lost to a 57-year-old Mike Tyson. But I think the part that people aren't looking at is I think Mike Tyson is really going to come into this fight trying to win. I don't think Mike Tyson is coming into this fight thinking that he's just going to come in there and get a paycheck. I think Mike Tyson is going to come in and he's going to look to win this fight. I think Jake going to come in on his best behavior as far as his defense. I think Mike is going to hurt him. I think Mike still has electricity in his hands. I don't know how his cardio going to hold up, but I'm not a fan of the celebrity fighting. Everybody knows this. If you listen to the show, you know I'm not a fan of the celebrity fighting, the influence of boxing and all that good stuff. But this is our show. We cover combat sports. you know. And I'll be objective. If Jake Paul has definitely come a long way in his boxing skills. Jake Paul takes the science of boxing very seriously. You can tell if you go back to his first fight and you look at him all the way up to now. He has gotten better. Although I can't say the opponents have gotten better, but his skills have gotten better. And July 20th is a big day, Keys. I can't wait to see what they do for the undercard, because if they put on a stacked undercard, this probably could go down as probably one of the most watched sports events of 2024.
Yeah, I do feel like they'll at least have a good co-main event on there. I think, you know, what could even be cool, I mean, I guess there's really not many interesting fights for him if you put Logan Paul on the front. Yeah, I got excited for a second, and then I was like, nah, I don't really have an idea for this. I was going to say, if you put Logan Paul on it too, put him in the co-main event, get him a good fight, but I don't even know who the hell he would fight. Plus, I like the way he looks in wrestling. You know what I mean? I think Logan Paul's, you know, I like what he's doing in wrestling. But, and we'll talk about, next week I want to touch on WrestleMania, because I was just looking at the full card and I really like a lot of these fights. So we got to talk about WrestleMania. But, I think, you know, people have been asking me, I have, over 8 months, I have a 78% win rate, y'all. I got a 78% win rate in my bets. So I'm just short of winning 4 out of every 5 bets that I take over 8 months. That's a fact. I track everything. So, you know, hit me up. I applied to Dub Club to be a certified capper and get a subscription service going. I'm just waiting to hear back to see if I get approval or not. But, definitely people have been asking my take given that. They've been asking, like, oh, what do you think about the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, you know, because they want, you know, they feel like, oh, you know, let's get Keys' is, you know, educated opinion. But I don't know. I mean, I do think that I would say this. I wouldn't want to take a punch from Mike Tyson today. I don't think any one of us would want to. If I did, you know, I would know I was getting KO'd. So I'm not really getting – I'm knowing that I'm getting thrashed by him is what I'm saying. And it's I still think he has crazy power. I think he was working Roy Jones Jr. I'm not the boxing expert, but I think Roy Jones wasn't even in that match that they just had.
He didn't want to get hit. I think Tyson touched him up early in that opening round, and Roy was like, oh, no.
Yeah, so he was just kind of like,
real quick, man. I'm going to jump my grandson into the car real quick, into the room real quick before we get off.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Hayden, what you doing, man? Can you hear me? Hayden. I can't hear you, little man. I'm trying to get you on the show before we close out, because you've been up here all night.
Hi, Papa.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, this is my co-host Keys. He's in Massachusetts. Say hi to him.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Keys.
What's going on, man? We're just hanging out.
So you like the show, man?
Yeah.
All right. Next week we're gonna be talking about a lot of we're gonna talk about WrestleMania next week. If you want to call in next week, and maybe we'll let you jump in and talk about a little bit of wrestling. Okay. Hey, I love you, man. I miss you. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay.
All right, Keys. I just had to do that, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to have him up here. have him come back on for next week too, for WrestleMania. And as far as that, yeah, I just think that I don't really know. I mean, I think, you know, it is a lose-lose. And everybody go read Lee's article too. He wrote a really good article on this fight. And I do think it's true. It is a lose-lose for Jake Paul. You know, it's not going to look good either way. I think there's a lot more in it for Tyson. You know, I think Tyson would have gone in and knock out Jake Paul. I think that would be wild, bro. Tyson, they're going to be like, yo, Tyson's going to go through the roof if that happens, man. I think all the stock is on Tyson, honestly. I'm interested to see what they drop it for odds. You know, I think, you know, the smartest, like, if I told my boy, I'm like, guns in my head, you know, smartest bet. You know, if I had to do it right now, I'd probably bet, like, Jake Paul by decision. And the reason why I would do that is because I would expect, if I'm Jake Paul going into this fight, he knows that Mike Tyson's power is still crazy. Everyone talks about, oh, he's 59 years old. You guys sound wild saying that. You sound so crazy. You think that he's – have you seen him? Have you seen him? Have you seen the videos? Did you watch this last one? Look how fast he still is. He still has crazy speed, and I know he has crazy power. Do you want to take those shots? Y'all going to take those shots? Nah, you're not going to take those shots. You just want to say that on Twitter that he's 59 years old. He will kill all of us. He will kill all of us. And the thing is that I think Jake Paul knows that, and I don't think Jake Paul is going to go in there being like, oh, I'm going to KO Tyson. I think he's just saying that. I think Jake Paul is going to go in there very tentative. He's going to fight it very safe. You know what I mean? Because he knows that Mike Tyson can smoke him. You know, he's like, he knows he doesn't want to get hit by that. You know what I mean? I know Jake Paul doesn't want to take those shots. Jake Paul is going to go in there and fight that safe. That's what I think. And that's why I would say Jake Paul decision. I could see Jake Paul, you know what I mean, picking this, you know, just kind of taking like a Mayweather, you know, a later like Mayweather approach. Okay, be defensive, you know, pa, you know what I mean, use a jab or something, you know what I mean, land a shot here or there and try to play it like that. Because he knows the speed's going to be crazy, the power's going to be crazy. And I think inside he knows that he could get KO'd in this fight without a doubt. But I don't know. I don't have a prediction for it now, but I'm excited for it, man.
Yeah, man. So tonight we covered a lot, man. We covered, man, when they get to UFC 89. Who you got, man? You got Rebus or Rose, real quick?
Yo, I think Hibas is going to upset, man. I got Hibas. I think so. I think Hibas, he's coming in for it.
Man, you know I love me some Rose, man, but she definitely haven't been looking good here lately. I'm going to roll with Rose Namajunas, man. I'm hoping she can get back to her winning ways. I'm going to go with Rose, man. So, hey, we did a lot tonight, people. Thank you all for joining us. Next week, we'll probably talk some wrestling. We definitely got to talk the boxing calendar that Key sent me last week. We're going to try to jump into a couple of old fights. And we got to talk about Conor McGregor saying he's going to fight Michael Chandler sometime this summer, whether or not me and Keys believe it or not. But thank you all for joining us. Keys, any last words, bro?
Nah, man, stay positive and keep your head up. You know, it's like this. I know I got a lot of shit going on in my life, so I was trying to remind myself that. But me saying it's y'all is a way for me to remind myself, you know. That's pretty much all I'll leave off with. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, and I would like to add on to what Keys saying. You know, a lot of us, we don't know what other people are going through. So be respectful to other people. You don't know what they got going on in their life, be it good or be it bad, but just be respectful. That being said, as always, Lee and Key signing out, and we always end the show with a peace.